Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Newmark Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
We are continuing in our sort of series on sharing Jesus confidently that Pastor Cherie Rice kicked off a few weeks ago. I want to talk to you tonight about overcoming what is one of the greatest enemies that we all have to overcome in our lives. In fact, we are going to get some freedom tonight. All right. I want you to just begin to expect you're going to leave here different than you came. The Word of God is going to come and it's going to change you. Can you believe for that with me? We're going to look at one sort of long passage and then one verse. So we'll look first at 2 Timothy chapter 1. We'll begin reading verse 3. This is Paul. He says, "Timothy, I thank God for you, the God I serve with a clear conscience, just as my ancestors did. Night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. I long to see you again, for I remember your tears as we parted. And I will be filled with joy when we are together again." You can just hear the affection, the love. "I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I know that same faith continues strong in you. This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. So never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord. And don't be ashamed of me either, even though I'm in prison for him. With the strength God gives you, be ready to suffer with me for the sake of the good news. For God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserved it, but because that was his plan from before the beginning of time, to show us his grace through Christ Jesus. And now he's And now he has made all of this plain to us by the appearing of Christ Jesus, our Savior. He broke the power of death and illuminated the way to life and immortality through the good news. And God chose me to be a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of this good news. That is why I am suffering here in prison. But I am not ashamed of it, for I know the one in whom I trust, and I am sure that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until the day of his return." One more passage, just a verse in Proverbs. "Fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe." We're going to talk about overcoming the fear of man. Father, we thank you so much for the power of your word. Just felt in worship that we need to pause in this moment and just give God thanks for what he's done. Father, we thank you for Numa Perth. God, we thank you that we are a people. Lord, we don't take it for granted. Jesus, we thank you that you are building your church. Father, we don't despise the day of small beginnings. We thank you, Lord, for the great vision that you've given us. But Father, we just pause and we give you thanks for what you've already done. Father, we thank you for the leaders here that are being empowered. We thank you for providing the Crichtons and the Watsons. Father, we thank you for other leaders being raised up. We thank you for just the relationships, the covenant family. Thank you that, Lord, we're not alone. We're not isolated. Father, we thank you for your calling. Father, again, we recognize, we acknowledge that part of the justification for our existence is that you've called us to reach the lost. You've called us to reach those who are far from you. That's why you've brought us here. That's why you've brought us together to extend your kingdom, to be a force that would push back the kingdom of darkness. Father, I'm asking you today to set us free from the fear of man. Father, today I'm asking that you would drive it far from our lives. Would you open our eyes to see the power that is available to us? Father, would you fill us with a boldness, with an authority, a conviction, God, even a fresh infilling of your Holy Spirit. Father, would you reveal the extent of your love? If God be for us, who can be against us? Father, if we really understand how much you love us and how good it is to be accepted by you, how can we care what anybody else thinks? Lord, would you open our eyes? Help us to see what we haven't seen. And God, would you put something in us that would motivate, inspire, that would call us to cultivate this faith, this daily freedom. Set us free. Father, I pray over those who've had maybe challenging upbringings, where there's maybe a lack of fathering, or they've seen their parents go through divorce or abuse they've experienced that has robbed them of confidence, that has sown fear. God, would you set people free today? Bring freedom in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I think we would all probably agree that one of the most pervasive and consistent ways that we can battle and experience insecurity and timidity in our lives is this over-concern for what other people think about us. Can anybody relate to that? Has anybody ever battled in their life these feelings of insecurity or realized that I think I care a little bit too much what other people think about me, investing too much energy, even losing sleep at night? I remember talking to one of my friends before I became a Christian. We were talking about how cool it would be to be at our own funeral. And you know why we were talking about that? Because it was like, I wonder what people would be saying about us. Because it was like all of our energy, all of our emotional energy was spent towards getting other people to like us and not really even sure if people really did like us. But if we could just be there at the funeral, it seems so unfair. I'm going to be dead. I'm not even going to be able to experience all these nice things that people are saying about me. But this insecurity, this fear of man can be so exhausting in our lives. And some of us, I think, probably have a little bit of an unfair advantage in this area. You know, if you grew up in a family where there was a lot of affection and love from your parents and really great fathering in your life, you probably, I'm sure you got to battle some insecurity, but you probably haven't experienced it to the degree that maybe some of us who have maybe dad left when they were young. I remember when my dad, I mean, I've told you guys this story before. I was 17 years old and my dad basically said, I'm leaving your mom. And it like just gutted me. And there was this insecurity I began to feel, and I was trying to drown my sorrows in all these other things in my life. And it's amazing. When I look back at the moment of my salvation, when I was born again, I was 21 years old. I was at a party. It was the last Saturday night of November in 1995. I was at this party. I remember because it was right after Thanksgiving, which is the last Thursday of November. And I was at this party and I come home the next morning and I'm thinking about the night before. And it was like God helped me to see. It's like he pulled back the veil. And for the first time, I could see what my greatest problem was. That I cared way too much about what all of my friends thought about me. And I was thinking about, why did I care so much? Why? I spent the whole night wondering, what does this person think? What does this person think about me? How did I come across in this situation? And I just had enough. And I had spent months running from God, But in this moment, fed up with my own insecurity, fed up with the fear of man, I had this revelation that God loved me. And I kind of had this twofold revelation. The first thing that I realized in this moment was that, okay, wait a minute, I'm not going to stand before any of my friends to give an account for my life, but I am going to stand before God. And there was this sense of the fear of the Lord. Who cares what they think about me? It only matters what God thinks, because he's the judge, not all of my wannabe hippie friends. And then this next thing I realized was, man, I don't have to do anything to get God to like me. He just loves me. He loves me unconditionally. And that broke me, this kind of this combination of this sense of the fear of God and this understanding of his unconditional love. And I turned to him in that moment. I was changed. If I had to guess, this same enemy has in some way gripped your life. Even though there was that moment of salvation and I had this initial freedom from these feelings of the fear of man, it still comes up. I still have to battle this thing over and over again in my life. It's like this thing that keeps trying to creep up in my life. We can see it at work in our lives when we get a bit, we can feel we're kind of insecure around certain people. If we feel maybe this fear of rejection, we don't speak out like we want to speak out or say something because we're afraid that someone might reject us, or when we allow people to walk all over us, we don't really confront when we should. Maybe, ladies, when you try on 10 different outfits before you leave home, or fellas, maybe, I know, Phil, you have that same trouble. Maybe when you shrink back from sharing Jesus with someone, fail to confront someone when you know that you should. But this approval addiction can rob us of our joy. It robs us, it makes us feel weak, and it robs us of a sense and the ability to fulfill our calling. This proverb that we read before says that the fear of man will prove to be a snare. A snare is, you ever seen a snare? A snare is like a little trap that has a noose on it. And when it's used to like trap an animal or a bird, and when, you know, you put a little bit of food on there and then the bird comes and it kind of, its feet get tangled up in the little rope and it's eating, and then all of a sudden it triggers it, and this trigger happens, and then the noose tightens and they're caught. The bird's caught, the animal's caught. It doesn't kill it, but it captures it. And this is what the writer of Proverbs here is, this proverb is saying that the fear of man does. It catches us in its noose. It hinders us. It keeps us from being who God's called us to be. And so what I want to do is I want to share briefly three ways that the fear of man becomes a trap for us. How does the fear of man ensnare us? How does it trap us? And then I want to look at this threefold solution that Paul gives Timothy for overcoming the fear of man. So, three ways that the fear of man becomes a trap. The first one is this: the fear of man leads us into sin. In Exodus 23:2, God warned his people. He said, you must not follow the crowd in doing wrong. God knows how powerful the opinions and the influence of other people is in our lives. He says, don't follow the crowd. I've called you to be different. I've called you to be set apart. I've called you to be holy, be strong, be courageous. The moral choices that we make in life, maybe you've experienced this, are highly influenced by the people that we are around, the people that we keep company with. This is why Paul told the Corinthian church that those who don't believe in the resurrection and have no sense of accountability to God have this attitude that it doesn't really matter how we live. Let's eat, drink, be merry. Tomorrow we're going to die. And then Paul says, bad company corrupts good character. And so it matters whose opinions we value. It's amazing. I made it all the way through high school. Wasn't a part of a church, but I made it all the way through high school pure. I'm trying to choose my words carefully today, but I made it all the way through high school pure, and it was a miracle because none of my other friends were. They all had girlfriends, and they were living immorally or hooking up with girls. But I had grown up in the church, hadn't been in church in a long time, but I knew I at least wanted to go into my marriage pure, that was the right thing to do. And so I got all the way into uni, you know, walking in this purity. But I really began to struggle because what I began to realize was who were all my friends? They were all friends that didn't have the same value that I had. And so I began to very highly value the opinions of the people around me. And the measure, when you don't really know who you are and you lack this sense of identity, the measure of what it means to be a man is whatever the people around you are saying it means to be a man. And so I lost my purity for one simple reason. Because I was too timid and fearful and afraid to look my friends in the eyes and tell them what I valued. And so I would rather sell my purity than to look my friends in the eyes and be willing to face their rejection. The fear of man will lead us into sin. It happened to King Saul in the Old Testament. God told him to go against, attack the Amalekites, and he said, I want you to destroy all of the plunder. But Saul didn't do that. He kept the best. He let the soldiers of the army keep the best of their plunder. And this is what he said. He says, when Samuel confronted him, he says, yeah, I've sinned. I've disobeyed your instruction and the Lord's command. For I was afraid of the people and I did what they demanded. It was Saul's fear of man. He was afraid of the people that caused him to do what they demanded. And so temptation is going to come into our lives in the form of this desire to conform to the will of the people that are around us. And when we live for the approval of people, we tend to compromise in our values, in our morals. And so the fear of man makes it really hard to be like Jesus and be a friend of sinners. See, when Jesus says, I want you to befriend those who are far from God, the assumption is that the only person we care about pleasing is Jesus. And as long as that's who we care most about pleasing, then man, go hang out, spend time with people that are far from God, because it's not going to be an issue, the influence. But if there's a concern, I don't know if I, you know, should spend time around these people. What does that reveal? Caring way too much about what other people think, valuing the opinions of other people above God. So the second way that we can be ensnared by the fear of man is fear of man brings hypocrisy. See, when we care more about what people think about us than what God thinks, we tend to put on masks. We become chameleons. We change to fit into our environment. We start to fake it. We care more about our reputation, who people think we are, than our character, which is who we really are and who God sees that we are. And this was Jesus' accusation against the Pharisees. When Jesus was teaching the Pharisees once, he was teaching about the tendency of how money can replace God and that we can't serve both God and money. It says in Luke 16:14, the Pharisees, who dearly loved their money, heard all this and scoffed at him. They're laughing at Jesus. It's ridiculous what you're teaching, Jesus. And then he said to them, you like to appear righteous in public, but God knows your hearts. What this world honors is detestable in the sight of God. Saying to them, you try to make yourself look good in front of other people, in the eyes of other people, but God sees what's really going on, and he's not pleased. I've been confronted with my own hypocrisy the most when I've sensed that God wanted me to confess my sin to my brother. See, the Pharisaical spirit is, I'm not going to let anybody see me. I care way more about what people think about me than honoring what God is telling me to do. And so, like Jesus said of the Pharisees, they were whitewashed tombs. They looked tombs. They looked good on the outside, but full of death on the inside. And I've been confronted with my own Pharisaical spirit, my hypocrisy, my fear of man, when God has asked me to, hey, can you let someone else in and share with them this weakness in your life? It's the fear of man that causes us to elevate reputation above character. We're afraid of losing credibility in the eyes of other people. More concerned about what other people think of us than what God thinks. You see, God has called us to live transparently in covenant family. And so the fear of man is an enemy of covenant family. When we care more about what other people think about us than what God thinks, it makes it really hard. When we're bound up by the fear of man, when we overvalue the opinions of other people, it makes it really hard to be vulnerable, to walk in close relationship with other people. God wants us to be freed because our integrity is important to God. God values our integrity. He wants to bring alignment between who we are in private and who we are in public. He wants our integrity to be more important to us than our popularity. And so the third way the fear of man becomes a snare is that the fear of man silences our witness for Christ. Very hard to fulfill God's purpose upon our lives to extend the kingdom when we care too much what other people think about us. And we see this all through the New Testament, the fear of man silencing those who believe. Look at this passage in John 12. It says in verse 37, but despite all the miraculous signs Jesus had done, most of the people still did not believe in him. And then skip down to verse 42. Many people did believe in him, however, including some of the Jewish leaders, but they wouldn't admit it for fear that the Pharisees would expel them from the synagogue. They feared man. They loved human praise more than the praise of God. Their desire for human praise silenced their testimony. They weren't willing to confess Christ because of a fear of losing social standing in the community. Can anybody relate to that? We know the story of Peter, how he was arrested. Oh, Jesus, I'll die for you. I'll die with you if I have to. And what is he doing the night that Jesus was arrested? He overvalued what other people thought about it. He denied Christ three times. He was ashamed of Jesus. But Scripture actually encourages us to embrace the reality that our message is not going to be very popular. Check out 1 Corinthians 1:18. The message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction, but we who are being saved know it is the very power of God. What is the message of the cross? The message of the cross is that you are a sinner and you cannot save yourself. Jesus had to die on the cross for you. And if you will stop trusting in yourself and trust in him, you can escape what you deserve, which is eternal separation from God. You can't save yourself. You've got to trust in Jesus. This is a difficult message for people to receive. It's a difficult message for two reasons. Because first, a person has to admit that they're a sinner. And then second, they have to acknowledge, I can't save myself. So it deals with the pride of the human heart at a very deep level. And Jesus says, expect it. Expect people are going to struggle to hear that message. But we know that the message, this message of the gospel, is the power of God. It goes into the heart and it brings change. Matthew 10:32. Everyone who acknowledges me publicly here on earth, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But everyone who denies me here on earth, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. Man, that's the true test of whether we really believe is, do we value the opinion of God over the opinion of man? But here's the good news. We can be free. We can be free from the fear of man. We can get free from this snare. Because look at the proverb again. Fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. So Paul clarifies for Timothy here in this passage that we looked at. What does it look like to trust in the Lord to be set free from the fear of man? One of the things that we know about Timothy was that he was a man that struggled with the fear of man. We know that because we can see over and over again in Paul's letters, he's talking about, you know, he's like, have a little bit of wine for your stomach. You know, that's, you know, you got a bit of a nervous stomach. And, you know, he obviously didn't have much of a great relationship with his dad, at least not as someone when he was younger who sowed security and strength into him. His mom had a strong faith. His grandmother had a strong faith. His father, at least probably when he was younger, wasn't a believer. And so he struggled with insecurity. He struggled with timidity. He struggled with the fear of man. And so in 2 Timothy 1, in verse 7, he says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. He's saying, Timothy, here's how you deal with your fear, with your timidity. God has not given you that spirit. He's given you a spirit of power and love and self-discipline. He's saying that's not who we are. So here's the threefold antidote to the fear of man: power, love, and self-discipline. If we want to be free from the fear of man, we need to understand what Paul is talking about here when he's saying that God has not given you a spirit of fear, timidity, but of power and of love and of self-discipline. So what are these three promises? What is Paul teaching us? I want to give them to you as three confessions that you can leave with here today. Three confessions that you can speak over yourself. So first, Paul says that we are given a spirit of power. Number one, God has given me supernatural power for boldness and for courage. We know this is the primary reason, Acts 1:8, that God gives us his Holy Spirit. He says, you will receive power when my Spirit comes upon you. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power. What for? To be my witnesses, to be my witness to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth, telling people about me everywhere. In fact, before this, Jesus had said, just wait. Don't even bother. Just wait until you receive power. Don't bother telling anyone about me. Just wait. And then this we see on the day of Pentecost, the very one Peter who is denying Jesus, what happens? He's standing up boldly declaring who Jesus is, fearlessly, having been filled with the Holy Spirit. So one of the ways that we overcome the fear of man is we be possessed by the Holy Spirit. Be filled. Be filled by the Holy Spirit. I can remember being a brand new Christian. When I showed up at church, I was so afraid that somebody was going to put a microphone in my hand. I was so afraid somebody was going to ask me to give my testimony. I was happy to sit in the back, write my tithe check, but just don't ask me to say anything. I was just bound still by this fear. And this guy laid hands on me that day. I can remember when I met the pastor of the church, I met him and he was like, do you mind if I pray for you? And he just starts speaking in tongues, lays hands on my chest. My heart's racing. I start speaking in tongues, filled with the Spirit. And you know, it was amazing on that day, my fear, the feelings of fear that I battled didn't leave. But I would find myself in situations where I was just boldly telling other people about Jesus. One of the reasons I put off becoming a Christian for so long was because I didn't want to have to go to my friends and tell them that I'm serving Jesus. Now, I knew that once I decide to serve Jesus, I'm going to have to go to my friends and tell them that. And I was afraid. I was afraid of what they were going to say and think. But after I was filled with the Spirit, that fear was, I mean, there was still that thing, oh, they're going to reject me. But I would find myself just boldly telling them what Jesus has done. And they didn't like it. They hated it. And they were like, what's wrong with you? You're weird now. But I didn't care because Jesus had changed me. And I was, it was just something, someone inside of me compelling me to share what Jesus had done. Charles Spurgeon said, without the Spirit of God, we can do nothing. We are as ships without wind. We are useless. We overcome the fear of man by being baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit. Second, Paul says that we are given a spirit of love. What does he mean by that? How does love overcome the fear of man? Well, God, here's your confession. God unconditionally loves me and has already fully accepted me in Christ. He cannot love me any more than he already does. There's nothing I need to do to impress him. He loves me. He loves me, and it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks about me. This was the profound revelation that I had on the day that I was saved. Just this sense of, man, God loves me. It matters what he cares about. What he thinks about me doesn't matter what anybody else thinks about me. When we're truly and deeply aware of this approval that we have from God, it makes it really hard to fear the disapproval of other people. If we're bound by the fear of man, the reason that we're bound by the fear of man is because we need a deeper revelation of how completely and how unconditionally God himself loves us. But let's talk about what the root of the problem really is. Why was it so hard for me for so long to get right with God? Because I had made the approval of man the idol before which I was bowing. I worshiped at the feet of the opinions of other people. And so at the very root of the sin of the fear of man is idolatry. There is something that we can only receive from God that we are going to a person to receive. We're trying to find the deepest need of our soul for love and acceptance met in a person who often themselves doesn't actually know if they're loved and if they're accepted. And so they often project their dislike of themselves upon us. But whatever or whomever we most want to please is that which we worship. At the very root of the fear of man is idolatry. And so one of the reasons that the fear of man is so pervasive is because we were created to worship. We were created to seek love and affection and to give love and affection to God. But when he's missing in our life, we're looking for this relational expression of worship. And so we try to find a substitute for the love and affection of God, whether it's a husband or wife or mom or dad that we're trying to please, or a friend or a friendship group, a boss. But when we care more about what a person thinks about us than what God thinks, we've elevated that person to an idol. 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. The fear of man is actually the fear that this idol that we worship is going to punish us with rejection. But John's saying there's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. And so it's a deeper understanding of the gospel. If you're battling the fear of man, if you're battling insecurity in your life, if you can see this enemy at work, what do we need? We need a deeper revelation of the gospel, a deeper understanding of the unconditional love and acceptance that we have from God. And we can take this one step further. This love, we love because he first loved us. We love him. We love other people because he first loved us. When we have received love from God, when we know how much we're loved by God, and we're not going to the idols of other people to receive that affirmation and that affection, then the tank is full to love other people. And so when we're fearing man, we're not actually caring about them. We're caring about us and what they think about us. And so when we're free from the fear of man, we're actually free to love other people. Tim Keller said that the only thing that casts out the fear of man is a deep love relationship with God. So it's our love from God for people, from God, for God, and for people that frees us to boldly tell others about Jesus. Third, Paul says that we are given a spirit of self-discipline. How does self-discipline overcome the fear of man? How does it drive out the fear of man? Here's your confession. God has made me a new creation, so I choose to fear God, not man. Love this verse, John 14:1. Did I put this one up here? I don't think I did. Just listen. This is Jesus. He says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't let your hearts fear. Trust in God and trust also in me. The spirit of self-discipline says that you are a new creation in Christ. And so as a new creation in Christ, you have the power to choose. You have the power to decide who you're going to bow down to, who you're going to trust in, who you're going to worship. And this is a crucial revelation for us because it sets us free from a victim mentality. It sets us free from blaming the upbringing that we had or the abuse that we experienced or, you know, the fatherlessness. All those things are valid things we need to get set free from, but he calls us through the new creation reality out of being victims into having this power to choose. And so when Paul says to Timothy that he has a spirit of self-discipline, he's being mindful of the reality that we have to wake up every day and go to battle, go to war against the fear of man, meditating on God's word, choosing what am I going to trust in, the reality of God's love for me today, or this lie that I'm telling and hearing that I need to value the opinions of other people. So staying free from the fear of man is a daily battle. Romans 12:2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. The tool that God has given us to be set free from the fear of man is the power of his word. When Joshua was told by God, when the people of God were told to be strong and courageous, he told them, here's the key. Here's how you do it. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate upon it day and night. Then you'll be careful to do all that's written in it. Then you'll make your way prosperous. Then you'll have success. We've got to go to war every day against the fear of man, meditating upon his word daily. There's dozens of passages in Scripture that speak of the freedom that we have from fear. Isaiah 41:10. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. Psalm 56, I'm constantly hounded by those who slander me, and many are boldly attacking me. But when I'm afraid, I will put my trust in you. Isaiah 41, for I hold you, God's saying, I hold you by your right hand. I, the Lord your God, I say to you, don't be afraid. I am here to help you. Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger. Why should I tremble? My journey of overcoming the fear of man has involved me meditating on these passages over and over, confessing God's word out of my mouth over and over and over again. We've got to go to war every day through his word.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that he gave us his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.